This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something...
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and get up to 40% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions may apply.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
I'm Heidi Harris, in for Mark Cox. Always a privilege hanging out with some of my very favorite people in broadcasting and hanging out with the rest of you this morning. I do appreciate it. Coming up just a few moments, Jim Talent will be here, former U.S. Senator from the Bipartisan Policy Center. We've got lots to talk with him about. Kim on a Whim coming up toward the end of the hour. All right, I'm going to start this hour with something funny, Kim, that I saw the other day. I do read Dear Abby and Miss Manners. I'm not going to lie to you. I do. Okay,
isn't
go ahead and make
Dear
fun.
Abby's great granddaughter by now?
I don't know. And I did a whole, by the way, shameless plug. I do a podcast on the Odyssey app. You can find it, Heidi Harris Show. And it's on the Odyssey app. And I recently did a podcast about a Dear Abby column that was so completely, I mean, terrible advice for a young woman. Anyway, so this is Miss Manners. You're going to appreciate this. Dear Miss Manners, on my daughter's wedding day, the weather was perfect, as was the venue and all preparations. A few hours before the ceremony, the groom was arrested on an active warrant.
Oh, my. What was the warrant for?
I don't know. But anyway. But
murder? or intoxication. Like, I would like to know how bad it was.
I don't know.
Either way, it's not great.
But yeah, but I mean, to me, that's the end of the what, like the wedding's called off. It's never going to happen later or any of that. Okay. We were already at the venue, the writer says. The bridal party was getting dressed and photos were being taken while the bride was on the phone with an attorney attempting to have the groom released.
Oh my gosh. there's love,
out.
Right?
Right.
It depends what depends what it is. It really would. And trust me, I'm not going to date some like lowlife who is getting arrested all the time and is in and out of jail. But if it's sometimes there are really dumb things where I could potentially justify why it wouldn't be an absolute deal breaker. If it's murder or something else, that's going to be a problem.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Since we were hopeful that the groom would be released and since the guests were already there, we couldn't cancel. We decided to proceed with the cocktail hour and reception. The groom was not released. The ceremony never took place. Okay, forget all that. But instead of focusing on why this woman is going to continue to try to marry this guy, they were asking about the present. Should they be returned? Talk about parents not getting it. Isn't that hilarious?
The answer is yes. The presents, if they're not getting married, the presents should be returned.
Yeah, and she shouldn't get married later to this guy either, obviously. That's hilarious. So let's get to the short list. I'm sorry, Carl.
The Mark Cox short list.
But, you know, we use it for press conferences, and it doesn't work because the people fall into the you know, into the wet.
The roses stay, the grass goes.
The roses stay. No, it's a rose garden. No, all of this stays.
Really? This is all Trump has to do. He's got a lot of other important things to do. He's going to redo the rose garden, I guess. Rip out the grass and put in, I don't know, cement or something. I don't know.
The layoffs that are happening here, you know, they're certainly meaningful to the people involved, and they may be meaningful to a particular neighborhood or region or area, but at the national level, they're not significant yet.
No, listen, I don't like to see anybody lose their job. I don't. But I also, as a taxpayer, you work for me. And if you're not doing the job or you're getting overpaid, I'm sorry, I'm not crying about it. Go get a job in the private sector.
You know, and as you remember, during the campaign, Donald Trump was mocking electric vehicles right and left the entire time until Elon Musk wrote a $300 million check.
Yeah, that's right. So?
Well, the only thing I totally admired about Sleepy Joe Biden, he'd go to a beach, he'd lay down in a cot, barely able to get his feet through the sand. He'd lay down, and within minutes, he's sleeping.
Within minutes, he was sleeping for 4 years, wasn't he? For the better part of 4 years, that's for sure.
How much is he sleeping now that it's not, you know, required of him to actually have meetings and things like that? Does he still go to the beach?
I don't know. And it was never really explained what happened in Vegas when he was in Vegas. I know people who were kind of involved in that when he was, you know, in security detail for him. There was some weird stuff that happened. They had to stop the car on the freeway for 45 minutes that he was in. Very weird stuff happened. I don't know if it's a body double. I'm not saying it is. I don't know what happened. But the major stuff happened when he was in Vegas. So who knows?
Didn't they take him to the hospital?
They did. And then he was in the car, and it was just a very weird situation all the way around. And a lot of information wasn't really made public, but the traffic was stopped on the freeway for a while because he was literally pulled over to the side of the road for 45 minutes. What do you think happened?
I mean, what are you doing? Is he going into cardiac arrest and you're doing chest compressions and you need to have the vehicle stopped? I mean, that's what's alarming about it. There was a lot of weird stuff that was happening and just so much cover up with his current condition. You know, he's fine.
You know, I will always blame Jill Biden for that, because I would never allow my husband to be out in public if he were in that condition. I just wouldn't. And I'm not saying you should be, you know, put in a dark closet if you have Alzheimer's, or I'm not saying he's got out. I'm not diagnosing him, but clearly you're not who you used to be. And I would not allow my husband to be out doing anything that made him look bad. I wouldn't.
I think Jill was probably encouraging him because she liked the power. I think that as a wife, it's like you could tell your husband, this is not the right time. You need to step down. You shouldn't be running again. Obviously, if he's sitting there saying like, no, I'm doing this, and he's firm on it, it's like, okay, well, I'm telling you don't, and you're going to continue to do it. So you go do you. But I have a feeling that that was not what was happening behind the scenes with Jill Biden.
No, she wanted the power. She didn't want to give that up. She didn't care if she had to prop him up or embalm him or anything else to get him out there, as long as she kept her. Yeah, because who's heard of, who cares about Jill Biden once Joe's gone? I mean, remember, she's been a senator's wife for what, 40 years? How long was she a senator's wife before she was a president's wife?
Well, she's probably hoping to have success like Michelle Obama, who now people are talking about this new hairstyle that she was debuting, because she has a podcast, I think it is, with her brother. So she's been talking a lot about this. And then the hairdo is like, for whatever reason, what everyone's talking about. Have you seen this?
I saw the picture. I would not listen to her podcast. Have you listened to it?
I don't know if it's launched yet, but I know she's in the process of getting one started. I kind of want to listen. I just want to listen to hear what she's possibly going to say. More for the entertainment value versus, oh, I really want to hear Michelle Obama's insight on this particular issue. Let's see her stance on climate change, and I'll listen to her advice.
I'll listen to hers after I listen to Meghan Markle's.
Oh gosh!
Right after that, can you even imagine? Everyone's got a podcast now. I mean, it used to be the kind of thing in radio where you actually had to have some potential, at least potential, to get started, or some talent. Now every Yahoo with a $100 mic on Amazon's a podcaster.
Look at the girl who did the interview with Kamala Harris. It's like a sex podcast, and she interviews some of the biggest celebrities, including presidential candidates, the current vice president of the United States, and that it's some girl who I don't think had any sort of a professional background in media, and look at the success she's had now on her podcast.
You know what I have noticed? That the podcasts, many of the ones that seem to be very, very popular, are just like reality TV. Like the dumber they are, the more, I'm not saying all of them are not that. I mean, Joe Rogan obviously does a great job and there are a lot of good ones out there. But there, some of the most popular ones are just like sitting in the beauty salon in a chair. Well, and yakking. I mean, that's the kind of conversation.
They're just trying to get dirt and gossip that they can then be the person to officially break that, oh, so-and-so's splitting up or so-and-so did this or revealed new details. And, you know, with all these rumors going around about Michelle Obama and Barack splitting, I'm sure people are curious to see if she'll give any sort of context to that and talk about it on her podcast.
Well, I read something that she was taking shots at Obama and their sex life or something.
Let's definitely
tune in for that.
I saw that headline, and some of those I don't even click on because I just feel like they take one thing and they take it out of context and then they run with that for the headline. And when you actually read the article, it's so far from that and it just irks me.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Don't you hate that when you click on something and you think it's going to be something else? And it's just the same old story that's been rehashed 14 times today in the news. And it's just the same old thing. Yeah, I feel like I was baited in that situation. Yeah. All right. Coming up, Jim Talent's going to be here, former U.S. Senator from the Bipartisan Policy Center. That and much more coming up on the Mark Cox Morning Show. I'm Heidi Harris in for Mark Cox.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover, all for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code SHAVE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code SHAVE. Enjoy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Ugh, your clothes are too tight, yet you can't lose weight, even though you've tried so many diets. The reason you're having trouble losing weight could be a liver clogged with fat, and that is slowing your metabolism. Introducing Omicid, a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism, so it's easier to lose weight, and it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Find out more and see the university studies at omicid.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Heidi Harrison for Mark Cox. Jim Talent joins me, former U.S. Senator from the Bipartisan Policy Center. Now, how are you, sir? I'm the last person to know that everyone has an intro. How are you doing, Senator?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Good. I'm glad to have you here. Talk to me about what's going on with Ukraine and Russia, because obviously there was a meeting with Putin. Zelensky's ticked off because he thought, you know, he could boss Trump around. And it's been fascinating to watch, but we want the killing to stop. What's the latest?
Well, I think the process is going as well. It is going about as I expected it to go. And the key fact to understand, which people are not talking about a lot, is what's actually happening on the battlefield. So they've been fighting an attrition war for at least the last 2 years, because neither side is able to do maneuver warfare. I'm not going to get into the details of that, but basically maneuver warfare is coordinating your force in an agile way so you can bring all the elements of it, air, land, all of it, to bear on the enemy's weak spot. That's how you get breakthroughs. They can't do it. So they've been doing attrition warfare, and the Russians have been gradually winning at enormous cost, probably 1 to 1.5 million casualties if you add up both sides. Well, given that that's the case, the longer we wait to negotiate, the weaker the position the Ukrainians are going to be in. And the problem now, it really, you can anticipate it, was getting Putin to the table because he has the advantage on the battlefield. So Trump is doing what he always does. He's offering carrots and sticks. So the carrots are reducing some of the sanctions, a stronger relationship with Russia. The stick is stronger sanctions and continued military aid. I suspect if Putin continues to be obstinate, the military aid may go up. And everybody who's saying Trump doesn't care about Ukraine is going to go, well, we don't really believe this. But he's got to get Putin to the table. And I think the bottom line he's been aiming for from the beginning is ending the war in a way that preserves Ukrainian sovereignty, allows the West and mostly the Europeans, they should pay for it, to rebuild Ukraine.
That's right.
And then protects against a renewal of the war down the road. That's what he's aiming for. He's got to get Putin to the table. The whole business about getting the Ukrainians to propose a 30-day ceasefire was to put the onus on Putin. So now he's the one who's continuing the war. The president's going to use that in future negotiations. We'll see what happens. I'll just add one thing. He's already allowed the waiver, which Biden gave Putin, a waiver so that he could sell oil and gas to Europe. Trump has allowed that to expire, which is a major hit against the Russian economy. And I think the next round of sanctions, if Putin remains obstinate, will probably be on his banks, because that's another big hit on the Russian economy. So I always tell everybody, look, you can and should judge Trump by the results. Let's see what happens. But to say that he doesn't know how to negotiate, I don't know how anybody can look at Trump's career, either in office or out of office, and say the man doesn't know how to negotiate. So I'm willing to wait and see what the results are.
I think he's one of the strongest negotiators ever. I wanted to switch gears here for a second and ask you about this executive order that we're expecting Trump to sign today that would essentially eliminate the Department of Education, and it would turn back the power to the states, ultimately to the parents. Obviously, I know that a president doesn't have the power to do that. You have to have Congress to do that. What will this really do if he signs this executive order?
Well, that's what is about to be tested. And one of the things these executive orders is doing, or is going to do, I think, is clarify what the presidential authority over the executive branch actually is, both in terms of like grants, the expenditure of funds, control of employees, and in this case, control of structure, because it's not clear. It's not clear what the statutes provide, and it's not clear what the president's inherent authority is. So we're going to get a lot of good test cases out of this. I expect Trump is going to win a lot of them, and he's not going to win them all. So this is going to have an impact, but how much he's able to do is going to depend on what the courts say, which is the way our system works. This is the way it ought to happen. I think they're setting up a lot of test cases. Like a lot of these immigration cases are test cases, and the Department of Justice is handling them in the way they are because they think those are cases they can win. So again, we have to wait to see. As a policy matter, I mean, I think anybody looking at the Department of Education has advocated and really cares about education has advocated for years that really all it ought to be is a funding organization so that we can move extra funds to school districts that are poor. In other words, we don't need all these policies coming out of the Department of Education. It ought to be a state and local run endeavor, because you want services that are really important to people to be done as close to the people as possible.
It makes total sense. We're speaking with Jim Talent, former U.S. Senator. Yeah, it makes total sense that parents should have more control of what's taught to their children. Yeah. And this huge behemoth of the Department of Education isn't getting it done. I mean, we've got children who can't read. And what frustrates me, we talked about this a little earlier in the show, is they will do nothing about behavior in schools. And that's the number one problem that the teachers complain about.
Yeah. And you can't see the other alternative, and they may end up doing this too, depends on what happens here, is to condition the federal aid on the districts doing, I mean, the basic kinds of things. And you mentioned the number one thing, which is providing for safe classrooms, because if the classrooms aren't safe, nobody's learning anything. And by the way, the best teachers will quit. And this is happening in a lot of districts. You know, I got to add one other thing here. And the Congress is very busy now doing the reconciliation bill, which is the number one thing. I mean, they're right to focus on that. But as time goes on, some of these actions ought to be brought up in the Congress in the form of congressional authorizations of what the president is doing, I think particularly for immigration. Let's have Congress bring up bills specifically authorizing the president, for example, to deport Venezuelan gangs without judicial review. And let's see who votes yes and who votes no. Okay. In other words, let's start exploiting this both as a policy and a political matter in the Congress. I think they've done some of that, like with the women's sports issues. And I think we'll see some more of that down the road.
I'd like to see it. I'd love to see it. Jim Talent, former U.S. Senator, thanks for being here on the Mark Cox Morning Show. Great talking to you.
Always a pleasure.
I'm Heidi Harrison from Mark Cox, having a good time with some of my very favorite people in radio, and appreciate you joining us this morning. Mark returns on Monday. Tomorrow you have Ryan Recker in here, who is a great guy. All right, Joshua Reby, who has been not a suspect? Now, that's maybe too harsh. Person of interest in the disappearance of the young lady down there in the Dominican Republic, has now left the Dominican Republic. He was the last person seen with, I'm going to try to pronounce it correctly, Sudishka Konanki, beautiful girl, 20 years old, disappeared. We don't know where she is. We don't have a body. He's changed his story 3 or 4 times, but they're letting him leave the country. That's...
Here's what doesn't make sense to me. So not that long ago, they confiscated his passport. They agreed to give that passport back, but I guess for safety reasons, this 22-year-old person of interest had requested a new passport with a U.S. consulate. Well, guess what? He was given that new passport. If you or I were to request a new passport, it would take, 6 to 8 weeks minimum to receive that?
Minimum.
So the takeaway for this is that clearly they can get us a passport much quicker if there's a need. And I need to travel sometimes very quickly. So thank you. Yeah.
You know, years ago, this is totally nothing to do with this Joshua guy, but I was in a band and we were supposed to go to Bosnia to entertain the troops, and our passports didn't come in time. We all had to drive to Los Angeles in the middle of the night to get to Los Angeles to get our passports before we flew out because we didn't get them in time. So, yeah, I guess if you go to a major city, you can get it quicker. But you're right. I mean, you and I'd be sitting there for another month in a hotel room waiting for a passport. The whole thing's strange to me. You know, and he and his dad go to the airport with masks on. I'm not accusing him of anything. All right. I don't know what happened, but it's the strangest story. This girl goes walking on the beach with him. They've got videos of her throwing up, I guess, before that, maybe him too. And we don't know. I mean, there's never been a body that's washed up. Her clothes were on the chair. You know, and he says, well, because if somebody was in the water, they were having problems, wouldn't you try to save them or go get somebody who could? He says, well, I passed out on the beach, and I'm thinking of Jaws. Remember the scene in Jaws when the girl disappears and then the shark gets her? And the next day he goes, I don't know, she must have drowned or something. I passed out. I mean, the whole story is, okay, dare I say it, fishy. That's all I'm saying. Okay.
He said he did try to save her, but he wasn't able to. Something like that. Again, he has changed his story multiple times. He says they were kissing in the ocean Right. And she was getting swept, they're both getting swept away or something, and he tried to save her, but because of how strong the waves were, he couldn't. And then he passed out and fell asleep on the beach, woke up the next morning, and she's gone. And he talked, I guess they had met the night before and were really drunk at some bar or club or something like that in Punta Cana, which, by the way, is where I went on my honeymoon.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I did not go clubbing when I was there, but I did go to Punta Cana.
Okay.
But yeah, this whole story is very odd, and I feel so bad for her parents just not knowing what happened. They want her declared dead. There's got to be a reason for that. They must be able to take further action if for some reason she's declared dead. Because otherwise, why would they want that? I guess closure?
I don't know.
In their minds?
I mean, it's just a sad, sad story, because you would think that, and you know the area, I've not been there, but you would think that if you drown in shallow water, generally something would wash up. Not always. You could get swept out to sea, I understand. Mm-hmm. But it just seems like there'd be some kind of indication somewhere that, what concerns me about this guy is that his story keeps changing. He's told three different versions of events, and that's what's mm-hmm. always been fishy to me. And I have not seen... I don't think he went to authorities until they found him, right? And said, hey, we've got video of you with this girl. Oh, yeah, that's the girl I was with, right? Mm-hmm. Isn't that how it went down?
I think that's how it went down. Like you said, it's hard to follow all the stories. I'm trying to put myself in his position. And if I had been drinking to the extent that he had been, and then I'm seen on video with this girl who's now missing, and I'm named a person of interest, I'm trying to think, okay, would I be so nervous that my story would change? I'd been drinking the night before. I can understand why, like, for example, when you're an attorney and you're interviewing a bunch of witnesses, they say it's actually sketchier if everyone has the same story, because that's just not reality. Like, you could be with five people and look at the exact same thing play out, and each person from their own perspective, wearing their own lens, is going to see it differently. So when there's little tiny differences, it actually is more believable. Now, his story changing so much, I don't know. I would have to think that he had something to do with it, but I just hope that there's closure for the parents. I hope they find her body at the very least, and even if they never figure out who did this, although that would just be so tragic too. I can't imagine losing a child and never figuring out what happened.
Exactly. I mean, my first thought when I heard about her disappearing was that she had been a beautiful girl, as you've seen the pictures. I thought maybe she'd been trafficked because you're 4 o'clock in the morning, you're walking down the beach. Well, then we heard other stories that she was with this guy that maybe she had met. And, you know, the problem is these are young kids. They're all drinking. And the first thing that goes when you drink is judgment. It just goes out the window. And so everybody thinks, oh, I can walk down the beach with this guy and maybe he's safe, maybe he's not. Things you would never do otherwise happen when you are drinking. Everyone knows that. So it just breaks your heart, because, you know, maybe she thought he was a safe guy and maybe he did nothing to her. Mm-hmm. You know, we're not making accusations here. We just don't know.
But again, I agree. Your judgment's going to go way downhill very quickly. But
his too, by the way.
Well,
his too.
Both of theirs.
Right. It's like when women get, sexually assaulted at some frat house. Oh, she was drunk. You took advantage. He was drunk, too. Mm-hmm. I'm not defending it. I'm saying everybody was drunk. Nobody had any judgment here.
Right.
That's what I'm saying.
No, I agree. And I think one story said he tried to pull her to safety, but couldn't. Another story says, he did pull her to safety, but then he passed out on the beach.
Right.
What do you believe?
Right.
I mean, wouldn't there be more? A lot of these big resorts, not just in Punta Cana, anywhere, any popular vacation spot, you would think it would have cameras everywhere, because there's so many people who are drinking. And you'd think that, I mean, I know it was the middle of the night, but you'd still think that there'd be one that might be pointed in that direction if this was right outside some popular bar or resort.
Yeah, and it looks like, I've not been there like you have, but it looks like a beautiful place. And people tend to let their guard down. I mean, obviously in Vegas, where I'm from, you know, people get drunk, wander down alleys. I mean, it happens. They just can't wait to get to Vegas and start drinking those big, tall, they buy those big, tall drinks that are 2 feet tall, walk down the strip with
$55 them. $55 a piece, by the way.
That's right. He had to pay $55 to buy his wife a drink. But that's what I'm saying. But they're, you know, you're on vacation and your guard is dropped a little bit and you're just, hey, having a good time. And the next thing you know, something bad happens.
It's this whole idea of, you know, what happens in Punta Cana stays in Punta Cana. Mm-hmm. I mean, how many times have you heard people say that? It's like anything is off limits. It's almost like a hall pass. It's like, whatever.
Exactly.
Doesn't really matter what I do.
Right. I'm doing stuff I would never do in Sheboygan while I'm in Vegas or while I'm in Punta Cana or anywhere else. They're on vacation. And unfortunately, mm-hmm. there are bad things that can happen when you put yourself in that situation. And I'm not saying she deserved anything that happened. Obviously, I'm not saying that. But people tend to let their guard down and, mm-hmm. and things can happen.
Yep.
And it totally breaks my heart. This beautiful girl.
Those are conversations I plan to have with my kids because, you know, growing up, I've made mistakes and a lot of that was, you know, drinking when I was younger. And, you know, I don't get to that point anymore. I have not for years. And it's scary thinking of things that could have happened.
Well, that's the thing. And there are lots of dangerous situations that come up. You know, for example, you know, when girls go to frat houses and they start drinking, first of all, you don't know someone could put something in your drink. Mm-hmm. But even if they don't, I mean, you know, you could have a couple of drinks that you're not who you were before you started drinking. You put yourself in a vulnerable position. You don't deserve anything that happens to you, obviously. But you've now put yourself in a position where you will not be able to fight back or get yourself out of a situation because now you're drunk.
Mm-hmm.
And unless you're with somebody you completely trust who's sober, you put yourself in a terrible situation that, you know, that happens all the time.
Yep.
And people should be. And, you know, when situations like this happen at college, all the emphasis is on, oh, the guys, the terrible guys and this and that and the other and the culture and this and that. They never say to young ladies, don't drink at a frat house.
Mm-hmm.
Not that you deserve anything. You don't. Once again, I can't say that enough. But you put yourself in a situation. You're in a frat house with a bunch of 20-year-old guys. And, you know, something might happen.
I agree. You've got to be careful. But it's like the fork in the road. You have to be careful about what you're doing, the positions you're putting yourselves in. I'm not, right. Like you said, I'm not saying anyone deserves what happens to them. No one should have to, be murdered in this case, potentially, but sexual assault, whatever the case may be. But you just have to be careful and not even set yourself up to potentially get in that spot where, your judgment's down and all these things.
Yeah, exactly right. And, you know, it does kind of remind you of the situation with Natalie Holloway. Hopefully the family will have some closure.
Yeah.
It just breaks my heart. Oh, well, it's a sad story, but now he's back. So interesting, isn't it? Well, they said, charge me or let me go. Well, they let him go. Don't know if they can bring him back. We'll see how that goes. I'm Heidi Harrison for Mark Cox.
Kim on a whim.
There is a crazy bill that's circulating right now in Illinois. It passed out of a House committee yesterday, and so it could be up for a vote on the House floor as soon as next week. It's called the Homeschool Act, and essentially what it would do is it would require homeschool parents to basically register their children, which then could require them to potentially have to submit teaching materials to authorities. And Kaylee McEnany was talking about this on Fox News, and I want you to hear part of what she said.
Teaching? Well, what if you're a parent who says, I'm teaching creation to my child,
right,
and not evolution? What if you're a parent who's going to teach life begins at conception and a heartbeat begins at 5 weeks? What's going to happen to you? Do you trust J.B. Pritzker, the governor of Illinois and the state of Illinois, to not come for you? This is a huge deal. Good for you for standing, because mark my words, this will be weaponized the same way adoption has been pulled from underneath many Christians who want to adopt.
Yes. Talk about overreach. This is insane.
Absolutely. It's nuts. Yeah, but they, you know, you don't own your children. They own your children as far as they're concerned.
Well, that's their hope, right?
Yep.
People might not think it's that big of a deal, but the point Kaylee was making was, you know, if you want to teach your kid, for example, that, you know, it wasn't the Big Bang Theory and it was Adam and Eve and all of these different things that would be contradictory to what you might often be taught in, say, public school, what are they going to do? Because they're saying that if you don't register your kid, if this bill were to pass, you could be fined. Fined. I don't know what that fine
crazy.
Would be, but that's crazy. I hope this
doesn't about,
pass.
Yeah, I can't imagine it. But my understanding about homeschooling is that your child has to pass certain tests to get out of each grade. That's part of it, right? In order to get out of high school or whatever, there's certain tests. I have a friend who homeschools. That's what they do.
Well, yeah, it's not the wild, wild west. I mean, sure, there's probably the small number of parents who they quote unquote homeschool and they're really not doing anything. But I know plenty of people who homeschool their kids, many good friends. And those are some super smart kids. And yes, I mean, it's it's regulated as far as like, okay, you have to be kind of at this level, be able to do this skill by this grade and all of these things, pass these certain exams. So it's not just willy-nilly like, oh, draw a circle. All right, check. You have made it onto third grade. It's not just
right.
Whatever you feel like teaching them. There are things you have to be educating your kid about.
Right. And look at all the kids who go to public school whose parents don't do squat after school or any other time. Mm-hmm. I had a guy call into the show years ago, and we were talking about all day kindergarten, and he said, well, I like all day kindergarten because my little boy's been in all day kindergarten for 3 weeks and he can count to five now. And I was, yeah, I was, yeah,
how
my
old
mouth
was
dropped
he?
Open. The kid was five and he didn't know how to count to five until they got to kindergarten.
Oh my.
This is the kind of father this child has. This mm-hmm. child's always going to be behind because the father's not doing the job. And this kid was in a public school.
Mm-hmm.
So the point is, if the parents are going to take the time to homeschool, you know they're probably going to be doing a great job. It's not easy to homeschool. You have mm-hmm. to make a lot of effort to do it. It's not just, I want my kid to hang around the house all day. It's, you've got to make an effort. It's easier to send your kid to public school and expect somebody else to do mm-hmm. the job.
And what's interesting, too, is the people who homeschool, you can get it done in 3-4 hours, something like
yep.
that, versus the,
yeah.
is it 8 hours that you're spending typically at school, 7 hours, something
forever.
Like that.
And yeah. then they want to keep your kid after school, before school. Yeah, you can spend 3 hours on your studies and go to the zoo or something fun, you know, go out and do a, you know, go to the park, something fun, which is better, especially for boys anyway, than sitting mm-hmm. in a classroom, just sitting there vibrating because you want to go do something.
Mm-hmm. I've thought about homeschooling. My son's only two, and I don't know what the education system will look like down the road when he's of that age. I mean, right now, I'd probably look at like a private Christian school, but obviously that's expensive. So those are things we have to factor in. And again, thought about the idea of homeschooling, and it's intimidating because I personally feel the weight of, oh my gosh, like if I homeschool, I have to make sure I'm hitting those marks and all of these things because I want my kid to be smart. I want him and whatever this baby is to be well educated, wherever it's coming right. from.
Yeah, but you'd be great at it. No one's asking you to teach quantum physics. You know, you could certainly help.
I could not teach that.
I would have trouble with Algebra 1.
I would have, yes, same.
That's why I'm a broadcaster. I'm Heidi Harris.
Get more at 971talk.com.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
March Madness is here, and if you want to enhance the experience, join me, Gary Parrish, and my colleague Matt Norlander on the Ion College Basketball Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. We have new episodes at least 3 times a week and at the end of every night of the NCAA tournament. So before you go to bed, hang with us or know we'll be there when you awake. We'll break down games, make picks against the spread. Most of all, we'll have a blast. So join us on the Ion College Basketball Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.